Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's good to be with you here. We're at the Crown Royal Club inside of Oracle. If you want to come and see us, you're going to have to get past strict security. Thank you, ladies. We feel safe. We feel comfortable today. Gianna, you feel safe?
Yes, I do.
Albie, safe? Everyone's safe? Mike, safe? I feel safe too, man.
And dry. Warm and happy.
We're very happy to be here. We're going to have Warriors and Pistons a little bit later on tonight, and that's just an appetizer for all that is coming up next week. That is going to be a monster week for the Golden State Warriors. We're looking forward to welcoming the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame here to 95.7 The Game. If you're a listener, we are going to have an incredible game dream sports experience coming up here where you're going to be able to bid on unique and incredible experiences going to 95.7thegame.com starting January 17th for the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. Unbelievable experience, and it's a great cause. They raise money for kids to play sports, and that sounds good to me. A conversation with Scott Baer about the end of the Raiders season and everything that's going on down in Southern California today also sounds good to me, and that's why he's good enough to join us right here and now. Now, Scott, if I got this right, you're from San Diego, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego, and I covered the Bolts for 5 seasons, so I have checked in with a number of people down there, and I mean, it's a sad day. People are, you know, burning jerseys. And I think we have a mutual friend in Mighty 1090 radio host, Darren Smith. He's been up for 5 hours already.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's basically coordinating a wake, a citywide wake. And this is definitely, a tough day in that town, which has 3.5 million people and now only one professional sports team. They've now lost two NBA franchises and now their NFL franchise. 55 years, and if I can localize this, I'm sure that it's an experience that is going on down there. Raiders fans up here are desperately crossing their fingers that doesn't have a similar scene up here in the East Bay.
Well, here's my theory, because we were told Jim Trotter, very respected NFL reporter, said that the meeting in New York yesterday was going to clear a path to the Raiders to get to Vegas, and we wake up this morning with the Los Angeles Chargers. So something dramatic happened in that meeting, and the something that I'm going with until a Raider representative calls me to let me know differently is that Mark Davis stood up and said, Vegas is where we're going, unless Dean is dumb enough to pass up on L.A., and then we're going to – I think Mark Davis put Los Angeles back on the table at that meeting, and that's why Dean Spanos had to grab this right now. Doesn't that make sense to you?
I mean, I wasn't in that room, and it's definitely conceivable considering how hard Mark Davis is charging to secure his Las Vegas as his next long-term home. And, obviously he had some leverage there in the L.A. market that may have forced Dean Spanos. And it's weird because – I know a lot of people down in San Diego who have their ear to the ground and have pretty good hearing. So I think that when they were as surprised as they were to see this unfold in quite this way, maybe something dramatic did happen. Although it's hindsight's 2020, and you start connecting dots, moving backwards, and maybe the Chargers didn't need to go to that meeting yesterday because they had already made up their mind. Dean Spanos had kind of let some things out there that he was definitely frustrated with the city of San Diego and things like that. But yeah, this is, that was the first major shoe to drop. And now as the Raiders look at it, LA is no longer an option, no longer a leverage point. So they have to get Vegas to work here in order to secure what they want In terms of the long-term future, because, and of course, every time that you have one of these NFL owners meetings, there is a clear and concise message that is often delivered by the most powerful owners. These guys are not stupid. They run PR campaigns, and everything about that meeting on Wednesday was to help generate some momentum for the Oakland Raiders, who are going to apply for relocation to Vegas to try to get those 24 votes. You hear a unified message. You always hear them spreading fear at times about what's going on in Oakland and what's not viable and things like that. And, yeah, they're definitely trying to build momentum here so the Raiders can ultimately get what they want and then get enough of these owners on board to make that happen.
I can only hope, and I think Raider fans can only hope, that they look at how this was universally received as a bad idea and negatively by all points. You can't find a single person who is pro Los Angeles Chargers. I would think that maybe the NFL looks at the blowback of the negativity of all this and maybe thinks – maybe moving the Raiders to Vegas right now isn't the best idea. And we have to, since we said we really want all these teams to stay where they are, have one team stay where it is. I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking. Scott, let's turn the page to the parting ways with Bill Musgrave here. What was the turning point in the Musgrave-Del Rio relationship? Or is this about keeping Downing in-house, whose stock was rising with other NFL teams?
I think it's more option B than anything else. And I've talked to Todd Downing a couple different times over the course of the year, and he's formed an incredibly strong bond with starting quarterback Derek Carr. And they really kind of work in lockstep. And I think just in talking to Todd, he's learned a lot from his time under Bill Musgrave, but it always seems weird when you go 12-4 and you have the sixth ranked offense and you have a quarterback that's clicking and you're scoring 27 points per game to take the guy and to take the PlayStation controller out of Musgrave's hand seems a little surprising. And it was surprising to me, and I get paid to expect things like that. But I do think that in talking to the people, this was about keeping Downing. And I think maybe Downing and Jack Del Rio may be in greater lockstep. And you think back about times where Jack Del Rio said, oh, I wish that we would have played more big boy ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, I can't believe that Murray only had 5 carries against the Broncos, kind of saying, hey, not everything is rosy here. So maybe it's a combination of option one and option two. But it's definitely making sure that Todd Downing stays in-house and stays that kind of young, kind of vibrant offensive mind that will grow and grow with this quarterback.
All the problems, all the big ones, I thought were on the defensive side of the ball this year. There are a couple decisions, though, to make on the offensive side of the ball. Latavius Murray is starting running back, retaining Matt McGloin as your backup. I would bring Latavius back. I think we tell Matt McGloin thanks for the memories, but Connor Cook is going to be the backup from here on out. Do you think it plays out that way?
I think that's the way that it will work from a quarterback perspective. In terms of Latavius Murray, I feel like I know him pretty well, and he definitely wants to come back here. The one thing about it is Reggie McKenzie has values in mind for players, and if those values don't match up with whatever is on the open market, then I could definitely see maybe some friction there, because while Latavius Murray didn't make the Pro Bowl this year and didn't have 4 digits in his rushing total, he had 12 touchdowns, and he's a young guy with some speed that other teams may value a bit more than the Oakland Raiders. So I don't think that it's a guarantee that he necessarily comes back, despite the fact that Latavius does want to stay here. Maybe that will count for a couple of extra dollars, but running backs really only get one crack at this free agency thing, generally speaking, and you want to try to cash in when you can.
Scott, you cover the AFC West very well, so let me ask you about the one playoff game that's got an AFC West team in it. Andy Reid, 19-2, when he's got a week to prepare. He's had a week to prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in with a red-hot Le'Veon Bell and no boot on Ben Roethlisberger. So when it's said and done, is Andy Reid going to be 20-2 after a week to prepare, or 19-3?
I think he might be 19-3 just because you look at that triumvirate. And Le'Veon Bell is a special player, but, I mean, how are you going to cover Antonio Brown with every member of the secondary? I just think that there's a lot of weapons there that could be difficult for Kansas City to handle, and I'm sure it frustrates the Raiders and head coach Jack Del Rio, who who lost to the Chiefs twice, and the Chiefs are still in the playoffs. And that, I mean, all politics is local, and you got to beat your, you got to beat the guy in your division. They didn't do that against Kansas City, and I'm sure that it's going to drive the silver and black nuts that Andy Reid's still out there with the AFC West title and the first round bye and everything that, that the Raiders ultimately wanted this season and didn't get. I'm sure it would definitely bother them if they made it to the next round.
Scott, man, thanks very much. Good to talk to you as always, and we'll do it again real soon. Scott Baer here on 95.7 The Game. What we're going to do is continue to take your calls while we wait for Norman Clark to join us. He is a Vegas columnist, and he knows an awful lot more about that city than I do, and he knows about the temperature of that city. He covers that, and when I say temperature, I don't mean how hot it is outside. I mean what the city's into, what the city falls out of love with, and how quickly all that happens. We're going to have him join us in just a little bit. But thanks, as always, to Scott Baer for the great information and another person who, is just mourning what's happening with the San Diego Chargers. I'm sure there's an awful lot of you out there. We want to go back to the phones, 888-957-9570. Raider D calling from Oakland. Raider D, how are you? Raider D, we got to move on. We got to have people ready to go. This is David in Pittsburgh. What's up, David?
Hello, Damon. This is David. How are you, sir?
Doing well, David.
Okay. Just one quick thought. I'm surprised none of the Bay Area media has picked up on it. It truly is sad what's happening to San Diego and the Chargers. But I'm surprised the Bay Area media is not doing more, unless I'm totally in left field, to keep the Raiders here. Why isn't the press or the media calling for the NFL to pull a Cleveland Brown routine on the Raiders? The Raiders logo, history, everything belongs to Oakland. Let Mark Davis take his team to Las Vegas, but it'll be called something other than the Raiders.
I would love that.
Back and when the Browns were relocated to Baltimore.
Yeah, no, I would love that to happen. I think it would make Mark stop in his tracks if he knew that that was the part of it, because if you just own an NFL team, if it's not the Raiders, you don't own your dad's team anymore. Mark owns the brand. I don't think that he can, he can be convinced to leave it behind in any way. So I think it's not being brought up because there's no reality attached to it, but I hear you, and I wish something could be done that is so jarring that it would halt this process in its tracks. This is Rick calling from Stockton. Rick, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
It's funny that you're at the Oracle Arena where a team is also leaving the Coliseum Complex. I feel terrible for the Charger fans. However, I think the Charger fans saw this coming, and they are not blind, dead blind idiots like Raider fans and just will follow their owner wherever they go. They jumped off the ship. They told Dean Spanos to take his little team and run off to a 25,000-seat stadium so he can see. Maybe he can feel that. But I bet you anything in Carson, they're going to have to beg for people to come in there. It serves him right. He gets what he gets. And I feel bad for the Charger fans. But
it'll be like, I tell you what, Red, thank you very much. It's like when they have to pay seat fillers,
right?
You know, when they're doing the Emmys,
the
Kodak Theater or something like that. They might have to pay seat fillers to come on in and sit in the stadium. And I'll say this, before you say the Raider fans are just total sheep for following an owner as he's trying to leave town, that's what happens when you go 12-4 with an exciting young team that's playing edgier seat football every Sunday. Sometimes football is about football, and that's what that was this season and why people filled this place. Norman Clark is a columnist from Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and I wanted to have him on here. I've been following him for years. He's someone who I've read many, many times, and he understands the zeitgeist of that town better than anyone. Norman, Damon, Bruce, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today, sir. How are you?
My pleasure, Damon. Thank you. I'm doing great.
I only know Las Vegas as a tourist. You understand what it's like living there. Did you ever think that pro sports would be coming to your town? You've got the NHL now, and the NFL could be coming.
You know, I think we thought that we had a shot at the NHL. I think that the NBA disaster we had here with the All-Star game about 10 years ago, that would take, it might take 20 years to get an NBA franchise. And I think given the resistance from the NFL, not allowing anything Vegas connected with Super Bowl ads and that sort of thing, that was going to be out for quite a while. It happened very quickly. It was amazing. And we know that money talks, and nowhere does it talk louder than Las Vegas. And once MGM built the arena and the NHL got here, then Mark Davis started showing interest, and it took off very quickly. Yeah, we were very surprised, and no one was more surprised to see that the $750 million amount that the bill that passed to bring the Raiders here.
Hey, that money got approved faster than I bust out at a blackjack table.
Yeah, that's right. Talk about a New York second.
No kidding. Norman Clark here on 95.7 The Game. So with the very real rumor that the Raiders may be moving to Las Vegas, is there a noticeable thirst for that to happen among the locals?
You know, I think there is. There's no question in my mind that Las Vegas has been really, with the decline of our only pro team, and that was UNLV. I think that there's been a great hunger here, and the timing is pretty amazing. The thought has been, ever since this started bubbling, percolating, is that while the city, the market lacks a market size, it could be made up by siphoning off some of the 40 million visitors who come here. And there's also this thought that they would draw Raider fans from L.A., from Oakland. We know that if they played teams, Denver and that sort of closer markets, Phoenix or Los Angeles now, that they would have a huge following. But the Raiders have a pretty hellacious fan base, and I think they're counting on that. But Las Vegas draws a lot of people, and I think they like the idea of marrying those two great brands, the Raiders and Las Vegas.
So let me know if I'm wrong, but don't locals, and any team has to appeal to locals before it appeals to the people coming to away games or tourists just passing through town. You know, what are we going to do today? Do you want to go to Hoover Dam? No, let's go to a Raider game. Don't locals avoid the Strip like the plague? And if that's where the stadium sits, will people even want to go?
I still think that the power of the NFL is so strong that people, fathers, will want to bring their sons and daughters. I don't think there's any question that they would happen. I think the bigger question has been the question that's been over Las Vegas' head for a long time, and that is this is a three-shift city. And it's always been assumed that Las Vegas would never support professional sports because you have so many fathers who are working the overnight or sure. a shift that would prevent them from taking their kids to a NBA game, to an NFL game, and. We saw with the NHL ticket drive that they went to 14,000-15,000 very quickly. So we think that sort of concern diminished very quickly.
Norman Clark, a media legend in Las Vegas, a columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal here on the Damon Bruce Show. Casinos are famous for trapping people inside of their properties. Will they want to be shuttling people off their property for 5 to 8 hours at a time to watch football? And I also know this, I've woken up a lot of mornings in Las Vegas, and I'm not exactly bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I don't know how people are going to come from a Saturday night into a Sunday tailgate if they're out tipping a few back till 4 o'clock in the morning, which is pretty normal in Las Vegas. If the casinos don't support this, could that be a half-empty stadium with a few losing seasons? The only thing I know about Las Vegas for sure, Norman, is that whatever the coolest club or act this was this past weekend in Las Vegas, it will be deemed uncool and be out of town 3 to 4 years from now.
Well, that's the truth. Las Vegas, what's hot here that doesn't last very long here, but I think you're talking about the 800-pound gorilla when you're talking about the NFL.
Okay.
I think it's a whole different ball game. Parents aren't going to take their kids down to a nightclub, they wouldn't have a problem taking them to a football game where they have to pay, you know, $200 for to feed everybody. But they, it's just a different ball game, I think.
Well, Norman, I appreciate it very much. For those who have been reading you, it was nice to finally have you on the show. As someone who is famous for wearing an eye patch himself, do you identify with the Raiders mystique?
I certainly do, and my wife, the first thing she heard about when she saw the Raiders might be coming is she said, you might have a job offer.
Hey, Norman, thank you very much. Hey, if there is ever a way I could sit across the bar from you one night and get some Vegas stories next time I'm in town, I'd love to. Thank you so much for coming on the
show.
You got
it, man. Thanks a million, Damon. Appreciate it.
Norman Clark from Las Vegas here on 95.7 The Game, just getting a little bit better of a read on how it would work there. And you know, he brought up an awful lot of the concerns that we've discussed. What is fashionable today is out of fashion tomorrow. He is right. The NFL is a little bit different. It's not a nightclub. It's
right.
Not a restaurant. It is an 800-pound gorilla. He's certainly right about that. But the nature of a three-shift town, you know, someone's always working. Sunday is one of the busiest days in Las Vegas. That's moving day, everybody. That's when people are coming or going
right. En
masse. Hard day at the airport, made even harder now with an NFL game. It's interesting to hear what he thinks of the scenario since his boots are on the ground right there. I appreciate him coming. That was not in any way to troll the Raider fans here. Just trying to get all the information.
It's That's good to hear that perspective.
It is. I'm glad you feel that way.
I do.
Let's see. We got a couple more minutes here until we get to my buddy Nick Wright from Fox Sports. He's going to be joining us at 4:30. We're going to talk NFL and NBA and relocation with him. A couple more calls feel like they're in order. This is Mike in Oakland. Mike, you're on 95.7 The Game. Oh, Mike. We got to move on. Zach in Oakland. Zach.
Hey, Damon. Long-time listener. I've lived in Oakland for about 5 years now. But I grew up in the Encinitas area, and I was a diehard Charger fan, just devastating to see your team move. But you made a point a couple months ago when you were talking about the A's new stadium or the stadium talks that maybe a smaller stadium that looked out over the hills and felt like it was home was better for a team like that. And that really struck me as exactly what the Chargers needed to look at. They so badly wanted that big stadium that they just couldn't see that maybe a small stadium where you could see out onto the ocean or that was downtown.
Right. Now, that's the thing.
It would be better for the team.
San Diego.
Would be better and make it so they could stay.
San Diego always wanted to host Super Bowls, and so that's why they were married to the concept of a big stadium instead of a boutique stadium. And it's too bad that that might be the tripping point that caused no stadium to be built. And that's why Dean Spanos is going up the road. I thank you very much for the call. Jim in Concord. Jim, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon, just a quick question for you. Like 6 or 7 years from now, Canton, Ohio, Antonio Gates in the Hall of Fame as the first L.A. Charger? Or what are we going to do about that?
Wow. That's a really, really good question. Would he be the first Los Angeles Charger in? I wonder if Antonio Gates, who's already said he's coming back, is going to like change his mind over this, or maybe he thinks it'll be good marketing for him. I don't know, and that's such a good question.
I
wish that I came up with it. Thank you very much for the call, Jim, but I do not have the answer for that. I wonder if this means Philip Rivers is available.
I mean, both Gates and Rivers, 13 to 14 seasons in San Diego. I mean, this is I can imagine what they're thinking or how they feel. Maybe this is a time for them to move on and change.
Philip Rivers was incredibly public about not wanting to see a move
right.
during the season. Now that it's happened, I really wonder what his future is going to be. Our future includes Nick Wright. We're going to be talking to him. He's a rising star at Fox Sports. Buddy of mine, we're talking to him next here on 95.7 The Game. And also stay tuned, because you know what I'm going to give away before the end of today's show? U2 tickets. How about that? U2. Me too? No. U2 here on 95.7 The Game. The come up is real from my buddy Nick Wright at Fox Sports. Hired him, did an awful lot of stuff filling in for Cowherd while he was on holiday vacation. He was test driving a new show that could be launched soon with Chris Carter. All good things for Nick Wright, even though we yell at each other about basketball sometimes on the Twitters. How are you, buddy?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Things are really good. Good to have you on. Hey, we'll get to the Warriors here in a second. We'll talk about the rare PR blunder they made today and the ramifications of all that and what Colin Kaepernick might have even played in the role in all that. But you're new to the West Coast. You're new to L.A., and so are the Chargers. You're down there, Nick. What is the excitement level today? Is there a single soul saying this is good for the NFL?
I mean, I don't think they're... It doesn't seem like the people here really care. I think they'll care if they end up being good. I do find this whole process hilarious, though, because the NFL for 20 years, I believe this, intentionally kept a team out of Los Angeles just so it could extort other cities into building them a stadium. We'll move to L.A., we'll move to L.A., we'll move to L.A. And once they finally did move a team to L.A., they lost that leverage. And how do you get that leverage back? By all of a sudden moving a bunch of teams. So now they can extort people by saying, hey, San Diego might want a team. Oh, Oakland, they might want a team. St. Louis, they might want a team. It's the same reason, in my belief, the NBA may not have a team in Seattle for 30 years. Because Seattle is more useful as a boogeyman to force cities into building you, the billionaires, free arenas than it is as an NBA market. So, I mean, it's fine. Like, they're going to be playing at a 30,000-seat soccer stadium for a couple years. But the Rams don't have that much of a head start because the Rams were so terrible this year. So I don't think people really care. I think they'll care if the team's good.
Yeah, it's crazy. We always grouse about moving franchises, and the NFL is a greedy money-making machine, but moving franchises around has helped the NFL reach the place it's in right now. I saw Bill Shaken report that moves in the last 40 years, NFL, 9 teams, NBA, 7, NHL, 7. The NFL, though, is at 9, and if the Raiders move, that number grows to 10. And I do think there is a little truth to what you're talking about, man. They want options, and they love playing musical chairs, except the chairs are cities and fan bases.
Right, right. They love going to cities and saying, you know, what does, like what they said to San Diego, and I think San Diego smartly said no, but they said to San Diego, like, hey, what's the difference between San Diego and Santa Barbara? It's the fact that you got the Chargers and the Padres. Do you want to lose one of those? I mean, I respect San Diego for saying, forget you. We're not building you a billion-dollar toy box. But, I mean, I suppose I feel bad. I feel much worse for Charger fans than I do happy for the people of Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, considering the people of Los Angeles are going to just ho-hum this right to the end of time. I mean, I think you're leaving first fiddle position in San Diego for a seventh fiddle position in Los Angeles. I got them behind the Dodgers, the Kings, the Lakers, USC football. Raiders are still a bigger deal, and the Rams.
Yeah, I think you're about right. The Kings I can't really speak to, but I think the rest of it I totally agree with you, and I think depending on the year, UCLA basketball could be in that discussion.
One more note on the NFL.
Yeah.
Can you believe we're old enough to see a 30-year-old NFL head coach? I mean, when I was 30 years old, I was ready for a lot of things, probably not to be the head coach of an NFL team. That's impressive.
It is impressive. I also, God, I don't know anything about this guy. I should read up about him, but I don't really, it's not, I can do that later today, so I'm not going to act like I'm an expert. I'm just hoping, because this is the first head coach to be of the Madden generation, for the love of God, man, please be a two-point conversion. Go for it on fourth down. Know how to use your timeout, guys. Like, come on, man. Like, we deserve to have a coach in the league that gets basic math and probabilities. I hope it's the 30-year-old.
I hope it is, too. I really do. Don't let anything stop you from acting like you don't know about it. Come on. I'm watching these shows on Fox. We got Nick Wright from Fox Sports here on 95.7 The Game. All right, let's turn our attention here to the Golden State Warriors. You and I have gone back and forth on Twitter, and I'm trying to gauge what you really think of this team, and 140 characters is always a lousy way to do it. So I got three direct questions for you. Are you ready, good sir?
I'm so excited. I can't believe it's taken us 6 minutes to get to them. Let's do it.
Do you think the Warriors are the worst 33-6 team on planet Earth?
Well, they're the only 33-6 team on planet Earth, right?
That's true. So, like, but are they the worst of them?
They're the worst and the best. Like, they're all of the above. They're the one I love the most and hate the most. Like, if they're the only one, then they're everything. Come on. Hit me with a harder one, Damon.
All right, well, the thing is, you talk about embracing a new style. I know that you grew up around the Rockets, and you definitely covered them for a long time. They were a 3-and-D dunk it team, eliminating the mid-range shot. The Warriors are a 3-D and dunk it team with Sean Livingston still shooting mid-range shots. It's great.
Yeah, no, I got no problem with how the Warriors play basketball. My point on the Warriors is very, very simple, and I'm glad you brought up their 33-6, which is super impressive. What's unfortunate for them is they are 33-3 against everyone in basketball and 0-3 against the three best teams. And if we want to extend that further, we can say 0-6 if we include the last three games of last year. I think this Warriors team, and this is where you and I guess are going to heartily disagree, I think they built when they made the changes they did this offseason. I think they created a team that is better than any team in league history at beating any team that's a B-plus or worse, because you don't need to have an on night. You're going to almost always have the two, if not the three, against some teams. You're going to have the four best players on the court, and you can coast against good teams, against the Clippers, against the Raptors. But I think against the best teams in basketball, this team is markedly worse than the team last year. And I think, more importantly than anything, I think the guys in that locker room, if they are attached to a polygraph machine, know in their hearts the Cavs are flat out better than us. And the way the Warriors rented space in the head of every team in the league for the better part of 2 years, I think the Cavs are renting space in their head. And ultimately, that's all that matters for this team. All that matters is win the title. And last year, they were a heavy favorite. Right now, I think they're a significant underdog. It's as simple as that.
The problem is they're not using this regular season as a proving ground. They're using it as a laboratory. And the proving ground won't even exist until game one of the NBA Finals. And they better be in it against the Cavaliers, or somebody is not held up to their end of the bargain. But I think it's a good idea to build a team that waxes anyone B-plus or below as if they didn't existed. Because, let's face it, the NBA is historically a 4 or 5-team league every single year.
Correct. I think that would be a great idea for 99% of the teams in league history. I think that renovating a team that was, up until the middle of June, early June, I should say, the single greatest basketball team I've ever seen, I think it was a very risky, bold move. I think people decided it wasn't bold because of the shiny toy that is Kevin Durant. And I think the other part of this that really hurts them is when, in addition to getting rid of all of your big men, you also, and I don't think they accounted for this, you also lost Andre Iguodala as a quality basketball player. I think Andre might have actually had an effect on the PR thing, on the Warriors fixing it. He sent out a cryptic tweet. If that's true, I give him all the credit in the world. I think Andre's a really good guy. But Andre Iguodala, There's not a player in the league averaging as many minutes as him, averaging fewer points. I think he's had double-digit points once in the last month. I know he's not there for scoring, but you watch all these games, Damon.
No,
he looks like he's on the wrong side.
We got a couple things to argue about. Andre Iguodala's career arc is not one of them. There's no doubt he's a step slower. He's terrible on the fast break these days. And if Iguodala's not finishing fast breaks with, you know, a plum, you know, how much good is
he?
Right. Well, he's there to play a little defense too. He's there to spell guys. He's there to make good decisions. I still think he does that, but there's no doubt he is on the back nine, the way back. He's on the 17th hole of his career.
And my only, and this is the last point I'll say on him, my only thing is, if you're not finishing the fast breaks, it's because the athleticism's gone, and the athleticism is what's made him a great defender. Like, that's in game 101 of the season, can he bang with LeBron? Because Durant can't. And so, like, that's – if you don't have a rim protector, and Andre Iguodala, who was supposed to slow down LeBron, you know, he's not good enough to play, like, that's problematic.
It is. Nick Wright here. And by the way, I only got to one of the three questions, and we're running out of time. And I wanted to ask you, you know, this is why the next time Chris Carter's sick, give me a call and I'll fly down there.
Yep. I'll give you a 10-second answer. Fire him off. Go quick.
Do you dislike Draymond Green?
Yes.
Do you think Curry's overrated?
No, I think this year he's now properly rated. I think most people think he's the 5th to 8th best player in the sport. I think that's properly rated.
Draymond Green is not. I called
Curry the 28th greatest player in the history of basketball. People killed me for it. I think he's great, but he's not. I mean, we all thought he was better than LeBron last year, and it's all insane. And yeah, listen, you're a fake tough guy. You slap college kids, you hit grown men in the balls, you're a fake tough guy. I'd say it to his face long I'm wearing a cup. Fake tough guy.
No, he's not a fake tough guy, man. He just plays hard.
Hard, yeah. He and Grayson Allen, they're just playing hard, can't control themselves.
Hey, I seriously haven't seen an intentional trip once yet, but I went to school under Bob Knight, so I understand how rough basketball can get sometime. Greg Sir is a rare PR blunder for the Golden State Warriors. They hired the defrocked San Francisco police chief to head their security crew. Thank you very much. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the young Pope coming HBO soon.
Yeah, that's great.
Unless you're talking about popes or priests when you get to say defrocked. Anyways, the defrocked San Francisco police chief was hired and let go within about 15 minutes of each other. And obviously the reaction on social media, which gins up fiery responses quickly, happens. I'm not saying the Warriors are tone deaf. They obviously heard the tone and made a decision. So if it was a bad idea to do it in the first place, I think they get a round of applause for reacting swiftly to public perception.
Yes. I mean, I'm hesitant. You don't want to pat them on the back too much because it was an unforced error, right?
This
shouldn't have been a story to begin with. But man, oh man, a lot of organizations in pro sports or otherwise would just dig their heels in and say, "Bleep you!" Like, I don't. Even if the guy's not important, we're not succumbing to public pressure. And while typically I don't like the idea of the angry Twitter mob getting someone fired, in this case, I don't mind. That guy should have been fired a half dozen times as the police chief in San Francisco. The things that went on under his watch were heinous and shameful and scary. And the idea that a team in as progressive and smart of a league as the NBA was going to bring him in a city like San Francisco was an embarrassment. And I will give the Warriors a true standing ovation after, you know, I will boo them in the afternoon and then give them a standing ovation in the evening for fixing the unforced error. That man, listen, if that guy never works again in the public sector, private sector, whatever it is, he did that to himself. And it's there's a lot of people that suffered under his watch at the San Francisco Police Department that would love for the worst thing that happened to them is they can't find work. So I'm glad they ended up, you know, they mutually agree to part ways. It was the right move.
Yeah, it's called the Harbaugh around here. That's what that's called. Nick, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you, man. Have yourself a good week and weekend, and don't wait till the playoffs to get up here to a game. I'll introduce you to Draymond personally.
Oh, I cannot wait for it. Love you, bro. See ya.
Thank you very much. Nick Wright, Fox Sports, here on 95.7 The Game. Next, I'm going to tell you all about the Appleton, Wisconsin Dolphins, because that actually makes more sense than the San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers. That's next on 95.7 The Game. We're at Oracle Arena. Coach Keating, he'll be joining me at 6 o'clock for a little Warriors warm-up. We got Warriors. We got Detroit Pistons. Another big matchup for Zaza in the middle. Andre Drummond is a handful. He's got a lot of handful centers coming his way. We're going to be taking your phone calls. I can promise you that. Thanks, as always, to Nick Wright for pissing off half the audience. It's always nice to have him drop on by and fire people up. Twitter's going nuts right now. Look, I don't agree with half of what he says about this team, and I think he's wrong because he's not around this team. He obviously is watching the highlights, not the whole thing. He's got the cliff notes. We're reading the book.
Right.
That's why I want him to come on up here, and I'll show it to him, show him what's going on. What sounds like a droid? Oh, you know what? It's Mike Kropichka's phone. I got to mute that bad boy. Seriously, it sounds like R2-D2's yelling at me here in the background.
I know. I was waiting for some stormtrooper to come.
So,
flying through.
Let me tell you about the
D-2-2.
Thank you very much. One more time for the on the droid text line.
D-2-2-2-D-2-2.
That's Gianna the droid. Let me tell you about the Appleton, Wisconsin Dolphins. It makes more sense if the Miami Dolphins relocated to Appleton, Wisconsin, than it does the Chargers to Los Angeles. Wisconsin, at least when you get there, people would be like, well, you know, I'm a Packers fan and I'm a Badger fan, but football's in my blood and this feels like a big day for Appleton. Okay, then. All righty there. Appleton Dolphins it is. There's not much going on in Appleton.
No.
They'd be thrilled if a team got, I mean, like, sure, you grew up a Packer fan, you'd never root for another team, but you never thought a team would be coming to Appleton. Appleton, Wisconsin Dolphins makes more sense and would be better received than the Chargers going to Los Angeles, a town that is already up to its eyeballs in stuff to do, distractions, things to throw a little bit of money at, a lot of bit of money at, ways to spend your afternoon, ways to spend your weekend. There is just way too much to do, and this is oversaturation. It is overkill, and it is just ridiculous that there are now two football teams in L.A., no football teams in San Diego, and maybe a team in Las Vegas so they can also rip out the heart of Oakland. It just doesn't make sense. The Appleton, Wisconsin Dolphins make more sense than all of this because at least Appleton would be really excited.
Yeah, I think they would embrace their team.
They just got a Starbucks and they're excited. Come on. 888-957-9570. This is Damon calling from Seattle. How are you, Damon?
Hey, how you doing?
Love your name, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Hey, I was just calling to tell you, you know, I'm listening for a while. Guy about 30 minutes ago says, San Diego should be happy about, not following them, and then turns around and says, the Raiders are blind, they're fans and stuff like that. But the bottom line is we're Raider Nation, we're going to follow our team. But here's the big thing. What happens when they get to Carson, and we sell out the stadium for San Diego like we sold it out in San Diego?
It's going to happen.
Rivers was hot. Rivers was hot. And I've been traveling, watching different games. I went to the New Orleans game. We filled up the stadium. And I'm watching the Tampa Bay game. We filled up the stadium. So it's going to be great with them being down in L.A.
It would, but you know what? But it feels like it breaks up the California rivalry. I mean, an awful lot of the appeal of Dodgers. I know why I keep on saying Dodgers, because the city of Los Angeles is unjustly thrust into this conversation.
Well, it's the Chargers' new logo,
and it's the new logo too.
It's the Dodgers logo.
It's the dumbest logo, and we'll get into it when we reset the whole show at the top of next hour.
Easy mistake.
Very stupid. But one of the special things about the Raiders playing San Diego is that it wasn't just Raiders versus Chargers. It was Oakland versus San Diego. Two cities, even though they're in the same state, have incredibly different heartbeats and tenors about them. They're two opposites. They really are. And that was the culture clash as much as anything else. The Las Vegas Raiders are going to be the same fun in the sun. Even though we don't have, like, the Pacific Ocean as our beach, you can go to 19 different beach clubs. Like, the Raiders are no longer going to be that gritty blue-collar town that really appeals to the guy with the neck tattoo. They're going to be very glam. They're going to be very glitz.
Yeah.
They're not going to have any of that gritty feel. I don't know how you go about bringing your spiked shoulder pads on a Southwest flight if you're going to the game. Might have to leave them in a locker at McCarran Airport or rent a storage space if you ever want to tailgate in 120-degree heat. Sounds great to me. Oh, excuse me. I mean, it sounds like a terrible idea to me. It sounds like a terrible idea to me. And the whole rivalry, Northern California, Southern California, that geographic rivalry being dissolved is going to hurt the rivalry a little. Sure, Charger fans are still going to get muscled out of their own stadium by Raider fans. Raider fans, get ready to be muscled out of your own stadium in a week coming to you soon if you actually move to Las Vegas. If you don't think that 50,000 Packers fans aren't coming during a cold December to see the Packers play in Las Vegas, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. That's what's going to happen. And I don't know if there is enough local interest and support to go ahead and just assume that, oh, we're going to have 45,000 season tickets sold, no problem. Like, you can't get in. We won't let you in. A lot of those people who buy those tickets aren't married to this team, heart and soul. And the minute they know that they can take a $200 ticket and flip it to a Packer fan for a grand,
right, they're gonna
they
do
will.
It. Of course.
They will. You can believe me. Would you believe me if I told you I had U2 tickets?
Sweet.
The Joshua Tree Tour 2017, 30 years after releasing a legendary album for sure. They're coming to Levi's Stadium on May 17th. U2 is going to be performing the Joshua Tree in its entirety for the first time ever. Tickets go on sale Tuesday, January 17th at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. Their special guest, by the way, is going to be Mumford & Sons.
Oh, great.
I've got a pair of tickets that I'm giving away right now to caller number 11, since there are 11 tracks on the Joshua Tree. So good luck to you. Where the streets have no name, with or without you, we're giving these tickets away. See what I did there?
Very good.
See what I did there?
Very good.
Maybe you can pray to the Angels of Harlem, or was that? No, that was on Shake, Rattle, and Roll. That was not on Joshua Tree.
Not on Joshua Tree.
I don't even know much about U2, but Angels of Harlem was not on U2, the Joshua Tree. Don't show it to me. You're distracting me. We got to go to a quick break. Good luck to you trying to win the U2 tickets. We'll tell you who the winner is as we come on back and talk more about a ridiculous NFL landscape next on the Damon Bruce Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.